I just need to step out and do it. You know, mm-hmm. I just need to take that first step and God will, you know, He is a lamp unto my feet. He will guide the way.
Hello, my misfit friends, and welcome to our little aisle. My name is Nancy Carmichael, and I am your chief misfit and humble host here on the Isle of Misfits. And you know the favor that we get around here. You know that we get some amazing guests. And today, I got to tell you, it's no exception. And what I love about this guest, I'm guessing there's probably some of you out there who have heard of her, because I'm guessing some of her friends are going to listen to this, but a lot of you may have never heard her name before, and I'm excited that today you're going to learn her name. This is a woman who I met, I think, about 5 years ago. I'm thinking maybe more, but I'm going to say five, maybe 6 years ago, at a captivating retreat out in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. This is a woman who is generous, who is creative, who is thoughtful. This is a woman who walks in wisdom. And you can see why, just for those few qualities, why I would want you to meet her today. Her name is Karen Vance. She lives in a little town near Peoria, Illinois. She's a mother of three. And I am so thrilled to welcome her here on the aisle. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you, Nancy. Good to see you. Good to talk to you.
Oh, it's so good to have you back here. And, you know, I'm always excited to introduce new people here on the aisle, because you, my friend, are a treasure. And I want more people to meet you, because you've been such an encouragement to me. I'm going to start out by saying, you know, I came to this captivating retreat, and I had been there before, but this time I had come as a volunteer, and you were also on that volunteer team. And I came knowing that, oh, I was excited, but I really didn't know anybody, and you didn't know me, but you were just so kind, and you I don't even know to this day if you know what an encouragement you were to me throughout that week. So I'm outing you now, you're an encourager. What, and yeah. Just in case you didn't know it.
Yeah, well, and you encouraged me too. I'm living off the wisdom, you know, that you gave me that weekend. So,
well, I love how it's reciprocal. I'm always, you know, pleasantly surprised.
Yeah,
it's reciprocal. Yeah. But that is how, you know, that's how it's supposed to work, right? Especially in the body of Christ, we're both Christians, of course, and you know, we all have something that somebody else needs, don't we? Right?
Yeah.
And that's
And that particular day when we had met, I was having a bad morning, and you know, the sun was just shining down on you just right, and you had a cute sweater on, and you know, and then you burst out crying too, because I said, oh, that's a really cute sweater.
Boy, now I have to remember what cute sweater was I wearing that day. I hope it still fits.
It was like striped. Yeah. You said you got it at Goodwill or.
You know. Oh yeah, probably. Yes. I'm a thrifter. So yes. An unabashed thrifter. Yes. Yes. But it's all the rage these days, right?
That was really in style. Yeah.
The fall recycle.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Sustainable clothing, people. See?
Yeah.
So we were talking on the phone not too long ago, and the things we were talking about were so good. I'm like, we should record one of these conversations. So that's why we're here today. So we got some stuff to talk about, and, you know, we'll see where the conversation goes. But before we do that, I gave you the heads up, you know, and you've listened to this podcast long enough, you know what we got to do next, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you tell us. What do we got to do? Tell the world.
The stupid game.
We got to play the stupid game. So today's stupid game is brought to you by, actually, on my Insta, I did this week. So there's a few of you that follow on Insta. So I brought the stupid game to the masses and had some play along. So what I did, my stupid game, was I shared a few fun facts about me, two truths and a lie. I always get that mixed up. So the object of that stupid game was for my Insta people to guess which one was the lie. So if you want to check that out, find me on Insta. It's The Original Misfit. So today, Karen and I are going, we're going to test each other. We're each going to share one fun fact about ourselves with the other, and our job is to guess Is that fun fact the truth or is it a bold-faced lie? So, all right, I'm gonna do like they do in the football games with a coin toss. I'm gonna imagine you won the coin toss, Karen, so you get to choose. Do you want to go first or second?
I'll go first.
Okay. All right. And by going first, you're going to share yours with me, right? Okay.
Yeah.
And then you have to establish that. Yeah. Okay. All right. Ready and go.
Okay. So I have always loved Kathy Lee Gifford. And she used to be on a talk show with Regis Philbin. And they came to Chicago one time when I was a young mother. So I went up there and I saw them and I met her. After the show was over. And I said something to her and she teared up. I made her cry.
You can't give her cry. Maybe you did. Maybe you didn't.
And, you know, she has those huge brown eyes. And we just became like pen pal friends, like email back then and texting friends now. So that's kind of my claim to fame.
That you were pen pal / texting friends with Kathy Lee Gifford, who you made cry.
Yes.
This is what you're telling me right now. So I got to process this. Okay. So here's how my mind's working. That was a very detailed story.
Yeah.
I didn't give you a lot of heads up. So because it's so detailed, I'm going to say it's got to be true. Not that you couldn't make up a really amazing story like that on the fly, but I'm thinking it rings true to me.
It's true.
It's true.
Well, it's partly true, partly not.
Okay. All right. That's okay. You got artistic liberty.
If my friends ever listen to this, they'd be going, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves Kathy Lee. And I did meet her. I did make her cry, but we did not become fast friends. I don't text her.
Oh, okay. Well, that is so okay. All right. I like it. I like the way you are, the nuance. You were keeping us on our toes. So yes. Really, either answer I gave would have been correct. So you were giving me lots of leeway.
Yes.
But now we know that you make Kathy Lee Gifford cry. So that's worth it right there.
Yeah.
How many of us can say that?
Yeah. And maybe I really didn't, but that is my story.
Mm-hmm. Hey, and I'm sticking to it. So,
yeah.
All right, that's excellent. I don't know if I can top that. So, all right, I had a plan right up until this very second of what I was going to share because, like I said, I did this on Insta. So I was just, well, I'm just going to recycle the one because that might drive people to my Instagram. But all right, here's what I'm going to do instead, because when you said Kathy Lee Gifford, you reminded me, oh, I remember hearing her on the Eric Metaxas show. Mm. And it was a really great interview. She's probably been on several times. So here is my fun fact. I had Eric Metaxas, not on the Isle of Misfits, because it was before the Isle was born, but he was a guest on my pre-Isle of Misfits podcast. Is that true or false?
True.
It's false.
It's false.
So here, okay, but here's the backstory. I was supposed to have him on my podcast. Mm-hmm. I remember the date this was a really big deal at the time. Still would be a really big deal. I was all excited, but then I had a turn of events in my family. I had an emergency situation and it killed me to have to cancel the interview. So I had to cancel it the day before. So I never ended up, and I was never, of course, you know, you ghost Eric once and he's done with you. So it never
happened. You had the potential. I mean, you had the setup.
Yes, I did have the setup. It's, you know, it's hurt my heart for many years. I haven't quite gotten over it. So, Eric, if you're listening, which I'm sure you are,
yeah,
just know I tried. And he knows why, because I let them know why. So I'm not going to, you know, it would be a real sob story if I shared publicly. Anybody wants to know, they can email me or whatever, and I'll tell you when we're done recording. But yes, it was a legit reason. I wouldn't have done it for just anything. So there you go. There you go. But thank you for believing that I could have had him on my podcast.
Yeah. Well, you've had lots of interesting people. So
we've had amazing people. Like I said, God has given us so much favor here. And I feel that favor with you, right? Whether it's a name that everybody knows or whatever, like you are, and I don't want to overuse this word, but to me, you are evidence of God's grace, right? And I'm being selfish because, yeah, it was you were in the right place at the right time for me. But I have this little feeling that that's how God kind of uses you just in everyday life. And that's worth, yeah.
That's beautiful.
That's worth people knowing about.
Yeah.
So.
I hope so. That would be a dream come true, you know.
Well, I think you're living the dream, my friend. So, so before we get into, I mean, we'll see where this goes, like I said, but tell us a little bit, like, what's going on in your life right now? Let's start there. What do you see? That's a big open question, but where do you see Jesus kind of moving in your life right now? Or what's he speaking to you? Or what's going on?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I am a mother of three children, but they're adult children. So we are empty nesters. I work as a nurse, and I kind of came into that later in life. So, you know, thinking about retirement, I'll be 62 on Sunday. And, you know, then I think, well, I haven't been a nurse long enough. I haven't used my diploma that I earned long enough. And at the same time, I feel like God calling me into a new season, into something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not in the next few months, but like within the year. And in fact, the verse he gave me in January for 2024 was, see, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? You know,
Isaiah 43. I know this one.
Yes.
And I love that he gave that to you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then also I have I just always have relationship problems. You know, I always think that my strength is girlfriend friendships, but I always have, there's always some kind of strife with someone, you know?
No, well, that's just because you're living in the real world. I think if you didn't have that, I'd be saying, okay, then you don't, if you don't have relationship problems, you don't have relationships.
Yeah, well, that makes me feel better. But I'm always like, okay, God, what are you trying to say in this? You know, well, you know, and it's so easy to just say, oh, well, it's just me. I'm just a terrible person. But that's not it. You know, there's something for both people to learn. And, you know, trying to, I don't know, just flesh that out.
And so what are you learning? What's one thing you're learning? Without outing, I know we're not outing people, we're not doing anything like that, but what's something that's generic enough?
Well, I don't know, like if you've ever done the Enneagram, you know, some people like it, some people don't, but I am a 9 on that, which is the kind of the peacemaker or whatever. And the 9 is at the top of the circle, if you know anything about the Enneagram.
Mm-hmm.
So there's kind of like the 9 is pretty maybe accepting of the other numbers. I don't know if that's a true thing, but that's how I feel what I learned. Mm-hmm. But also in that, like I can be around somebody and I just kind of meld into whatever they like. Do you remember that movie?
My Best Friends. No. The Runaway Bride.
Runaway Bride.
Yes. Oh my God. I knew you were going to say that.
Yes. I can just become like wherever you want to go to eat or what's your favorite color. Oh, that's mine too, you know. Mm-hmm. And then get to a place where like,
how do you like your eggs?
Yes. How do I like them?
Yeah. Do I have to tell you how I like mine first?
Oh, right. You're right.
Because that was a thing in the movie.
Yeah, it was a thing. Yes.
Yeah.
She had a different favorite with every person.
Right.
But, you know, so I'm just feel like God's saying, you know, kind of breaking those, you know, what we call soul ties.
Mm-hmm.
Who he says I am, but still be compassionate to someone else's strong personality or strong beliefs or strong dislikes.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
So it sounds like you're learning how to be who God made you to be, while still allowing other people to be who they are, but not getting lost in who they are. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty major. That's a really big deal.
That is. Yes.
Yeah. Because I think
you do. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think, you know, I think more people than just you and Julia, and I'll raise my hand, right? Yeah. Have dealt with this. I think especially among us women, you know, because I think many of us, whether, you know, wherever we fall, if you believe in the Enneagram, or there's all kinds of personality tests out there, fall under, you know, yes, mercy, compassion, other people oriented. You know, I've heard, you know, golden retrievers and lions and beavers, you know, but the golden retrievers are the ones that like to make peace and be the bridge for everybody. So, and that's a gift, right? You're wired that way. So I have found over the years that depending on the dynamics, even within our relationships, some of the more dominant personalities can almost make those of us who maybe are that, you know, like you feel it's a nine, or I might put it in terms of golden retriever, or, you know, Maslow, whatever, not Maslow, Myers-Briggs, but, you know, that somehow that's lesser, right? Because it's not dominant and it's not controlling and it's not, you know, the mover and the shaker, but it's more of the, like you said, the peacemaker, that's somehow less than. That is not true at all. It's not true at all. But I think at the same time, that's why it's easy to kind of lose ourselves in other people, because we're preferring other people.
Right. Yeah. And that was it. That was, you know, that somebody said I was unorganized. And so, you know, like before I'd be like, oh my gosh, I got to get organized. But I just stopped to think, and I'm just like, just because I'm laid back, a little bit slower, doesn't mean I'm not organized. You know, I'm organized enough to get done what needs to be done, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, there, I just feel like, I mean, you know, we both love the Eldridges, and I just feel like in their writings they call us to, hey, slow down, you know, listen for God, look for God. And if I'm trying to make everything perfect, I miss that.
Right.
Thank you for saying that.
Right, because what is this thing about making things perfect, right? Okay, first of all, what is perfect, right? And second of all, like, so if it's up to us to make it all perfect, to arrange for everything ourselves, where does that leave, I don't know, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, right? You know, because a lot of the things that we bump into in life are the result of us trying to, you know, we live in a broken world. We live in, you know, it's a crazy mixed up world. Newsflash, right? That's not a surprise to anybody. But it's often our responses to that we're trying to arrange to get us back to this perfection, to this Eden place, if you will. And it never works, because we would never, it's too much pressure. It's not our job description to make everything perfect.
Right.
But it is, I think, our calling to embrace who God made us to be. Mm-hmm. Right. And that can be tricky ground, because it's not saying, well, this is who I am, damn it. You know, this is, it's an acknowledgement that, all right, you know what? God wired you. You are laid back. You're not a warrior, maybe not this driven, you know, whatever that means. And you're organized, but maybe not in the traditional way. And that's not just okay. It's not just permissible. It's like God made that for His glory, right? And the parts of that are maybe, you know, our reactions to it, or the wounds of it, or, you know, the sin nature that we still contend with, we can't just say, well, that's just the way I am. No, that's why God transforms us.
Right. Amen.
But there's always that core of, no, I made you this way, and I want to redeem the parts that stand in the way.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Contentment with peace is great gain. Is that the?
Yes. Yes. Godliness with contentment is great gain.
Yes.
Yeah, and peace is part of that.
Yeah, I was just talking with my adult son. I went and visited him, and, you know, just that circle you can get into, like, you feel God is distant, then you feel like you have to work harder, and then you can't work hard enough, and so then you just get down on yourself, you know, and...
easy to do.
Yes. And so it's, you know, and I just think, oh, well, he's amazing. He's great. He's a great guy. He's a great man. But you know, I can't make him see that.
Right. Right. And that's the beauty. Like you don't have to, right? It's not your job to get into his brain and, you know, just change it. It's your job to be who God made you to be, because that's what speaks to people, is you are free when Christ in you. And, you know, not this, and I've said this before, but I'll say it again because it merits repeating. It's not like, okay, Karen, get out of Jesus' way. It's like, no. You know, we have in a couple months here in Buffalo, we are in the path of totality for this eclipse that's coming, right? So there's going to be a total eclipse, and we are right smack dab in the middle of the path of totality. And here's the thing, it's like, if we get out of the way, we'd miss it. Okay? We want to be right in that path. Right. And that's what you're doing. You're not saying, well, I'll get out of the way for all Jesus. No, all Jesus is saying, no, I want all of you. I want union with you and for your son to see and your other children and your coworkers and everybody who your path crosses.
Yeah. Well, I am his mom.
You are his mom. That's true. Okay. There's that. Dynamic. Listen to your mom. But yeah. So I love that you're stepping into this new season. I love that you're embracing how God wired you as that peacemaker. I love that you're, you know, as you said, breaking those soul ties and but still remaining compassionate. Love that. So now I'm gonna back up a little bit, because you mentioned you got a birthday coming up, by the way. Happy birthday. And you said something about a new season, and I think you said something wrong. I don't know, maybe I haven't been a nurse long enough, and yet I sense a new season. Let's talk about that. All right, so I don't know how long you've been a nurse. I'm guessing it's been a little while.
14.
So how many?
14.
Okay, that's a good long while. You got some experience under your belt, and yet you feel that something's stirring, something's happening. And you just said you mentioned your age. So, you know, you're in that early part of your 60s. And this is a time when a lot of people are like, okay, I'm packing up, I'm going to Florida. Bye-bye, see ya. And yet that's not what I'm hearing from you. Unless I'm wrong, but it sounds like you got a sense that something's coming, or something's being prepared. So talk about that.
Well, I know a lot of people who have retired, and you know, like, it's fun at first going to lunch and you get to go on trips. And even my friend just said the other day, I said, are you going to Mexico this year? And she goes, you know, been there, done that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, though, I'm looking forward to those things. I certainly mm-hmm. want to travel with mm-hmm. my husband and all that, but there's also something, I want to reach out to women of a certain age, you know, that maybe we feel like we're not teaching Sunday school anymore, or we're not working in the nursery, or, but we are full of wisdom, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
and, I just feel like women of a certain age need to be encouraged in that. Like, you just have so much to offer. I don't know if it'd be like a mentorship type of thing, but what I've dreamed of for a long time is to have a handful of women over to dinner every once a month and just encourage them in the stage of life that they're in, and to cultivate the wisdom that they've acquired, you know, for the age that they are or what they've been through.
I love that. I love so much about that. The fact that you want to coach and mentor the mentors, right? You want to, first of all, encourage them that, hey, honey, your life is not over, right? So yeah, you're in a new season. Maybe you're not mothering young children anymore. Maybe, you know, your roles are changing, but you're not done. And not only are you not done, we need you. We need your wisdom. We need what you have to offer. And you need to know that that is a valuable thing. It's not an accessory. It's not like, oh, just give them something to do. No, we desperately need your wisdom.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. I love how focused it is. I love the smallness of I just want to have a few women over and have them for dinner. Oh my gosh. That, you know, I say small, but by small, I don't mean insignificant. You know, several months back, I had a guy who wrote a book, Seth Lewis wrote a great book called Dream Small. And the whole premise of the book is really what you just said. It's getting focused. It's investing, right? And we can't invest everywhere and we can't focus everywhere because that belies the word focus, right? To focus, you have to be intentional and you have to, and it takes time and you can't do that with everyone everywhere all at once. Mm-hmm. So I love that. I'm all for it.
Yeah, well, now I got to do it then.
So. Okay. And, you know, okay. So what would that look like? And, you know, that's when we start to be like, oh gosh, now I got to do this. I got to do that. I got it ready. And I'll wait for that perfect time and wait for the wave, that perfect wave to come along that I can, you know. And I don't know, let's talk about that a little bit. So I almost want to phrase it as like a close-ended question. Like, okay, so when is the perfect time?
Well, when, you know, I know I've already got the call to mm-hmm. do it. I've already got the confirmation. Because mm-hmm. every time I tell somebody about it, they're like, yes, invite me. I would like to come to that, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then I worry about the food, you know, that people have, you know, certain restrictions.
Okay, yes.
I just need to step out and do it. You know, mm-hmm. I just need to take that first step and God will, you know, he is a lamp unto my feet. He will guide the way. And you know, because you're writing a book, right?
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Yes, I am, by the grace of God.
Yeah. So, you know, that is you and God for now doing it, but you're just taking that next step as he shows you, and then it will include others. So
right,
just, you know, me and God, but then it will be a blessing to other people, I hope.
taking that next step. And I think you kind of nailed it, because the truth is there's never going to be a perfect time.
No.
You know, the stars are never going to align perfectly. I think that happened maybe once when Jesus was born, but, you know,
yeah.
That's not a regular occurrence. It's, you know, and even when Jesus was born, we all know that, you know, maybe the stars were aligned, but it was kind of chaos on the ground.
Yeah.
And that's what life is, right? It's never perfect. It's never perfect. And if we waited for that perfect moment and all the, you know, the menu will line up and everybody's happy at every moment of the day, we're just going to be paralyzed.
Yep.
So you take that next step.
Yep.
So Karen, what does that next step look like for you?
Well, I need to send out invitations, I guess, and set a date and have a topic that I would want to for them to discuss and have a menu that would be user-friendly to everybody.
Or, you know, here's a thought. We have a lady at our church who's doing this. She just wants to get women together. And so it's like so, so incredibly simple. She's just like, okay, we got a room at the church. Bring your own lunch. Just come.
Oh.
And you know what? They're coming. They're coming. Because women are so, they are starved for connection right now.
Yes.
It's like, you know what? I'll bring my own gluten-free meal. I'll bring my own dairy-free. I'll bring whatever.
Yes.
I just want to come because it's, you know, I mean, and there are people, and I have a feeling you're one of them that have that gift of hospitality that put out the Martha Stewart spreads. And that there's a beauty and an art to that. So I'm not knocking it.
Yeah.
But what I am saying is the heart I'm hearing in you is you just want to pour into them.
Yeah.
And the beauty, the aesthetics, the menu, that can all be there. But I want to encourage you to not make that a stressful thing.
Yeah.
Right? To take away from the beauty of what you want to do for these women. Because I'm telling you, they're not coming for the three-tiered cookie tray. You know, they're coming because you have something to offer them.
And, you know, I used to be like that. That was my MO, to have it all fancy. Mm-hmm. But not so much anymore. And, you know, like I learned my daughter and her generation, they are not into dishes and glassware. They're not into set time. You know, I've had a young friend at church say, Karen, people my generation, they just want to come when they want to come. Just have a buffet set out.
Yep.
And so I'm like, oh, wow, that is so much easier. Paper plates all the way, you know.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Because they just want to be together. Yeah. Right. And so it's kind of like removing these barriers because we want to do it. But then I think as women, we're like, well, we got to do it well. We got to decorate. We got to, you know, we have to have these themed invitations. We have to, you know, and we put all these layers. And again, I'm not knocking it. Some people love to do that. But I also know, even among the people that love to do that, it can become its own weight that just kind of weighs us down from the original intent of why we wanted to get together in the first place.
Yes.
Yeah. So I love it. I love everything about it. So we're not putting you on the spot here. We're not, you know, this is not like we're not grading you, but I love that we're having this conversation that other people can hear because I'm going to check in maybe, you know, a couple months down the road and just be able to say, how's it going? And there's no pressure. Like, well, you know, life happens and we tried it and it just didn't work and we're still trying. But, I think this is encouraging because we're all stepping out into something, right? We're all taking that next step.
Yeah.
And I think this can be a lab experiment, right? That we can check back in with each other and say, how's it going? And how can we pray for you?
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Karen, I know there's more to talk about, but let's save it for the next time.
Okay.
And just kind of, we'll put a pin in it, as they say, right here. And I'm so grateful that you came to talk to us today.
Thank you for having me.
Oh,
and
thanks
I'm
going to
ask
coming.
You questions next time.
Okay. All right. I'll brace myself. All right. Well, all right. So until we talk again, God bless you.
Thank you.
So, my misfit friend, what's your next step? What's that one thing you keep saying, you know, I really should, ... I know I've got my thing, but I want to know yours. Would you share it with me? There's a couple ways you can do it. You can go to isleofmisfits.com and comment on the show notes because they're going to be there. You can slide into my DMs, as the kids say, on Instagram. My handle is TheOriginalMisfit. Would love to hear from you there. Or you can email me at nancy@isleofmisfits.com. That's isleofmisfits.com. I really do want to hear. Let's hold each other accountable. Let's encourage each other to take that next step. And let's see where this goes. Because, you know, we're all about owning that awkward along the way, loving each other, our fellow misfits, and seeking beauty and truth everywhere.